personal word, let me remind us again of what Jesus said this morning, such important words. We hear that Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And that means, quoting scripture again, curing every disease and every sickness. We saw the crowds. He had compassion because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. God's love and presence deep within him, out of compassion, that word we hear often this morning from our collect to our lessons, Jesus then calls and sends others to help him proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Jesus needs his followers to join him in proclaiming God's good news of life's blessings for all people by their compassionate actions of mercy and inclusive love for all. Through the love of God widely and freely bestowed upon us, Jesus asks us to freely share that love with all. He's giving these instructions to his followers that day, the descendants of Abraham and Sarah, whom we heard about in our Old Testament reading. Abraham and Sarah received good news from God, who appears to them as three strangers, hence we've come to claim that as an image of the Trinitarian God inviting us to be in relationship. Three strangers bearing the impossible news, but remember, nothing. That in their old age and in their barrenness, Sarah will bear that promised child. We heard about last week, if you heard the Genesis reading last Sunday and were here. That promised child of the covenant, through whose descendants, as numerous as the stars of the heavens and the sands of the sea, knowing and sharing God's blessings of love and life, the whole world will be blessed. Wow. Promise that then Jesus claims and offers to all of us. Because Abraham and Sarah's descendants, who now include us in Christ's love, yes, we've sometimes done this splendidly, beautifully, faithfully, as God asks. But this is not an easy thing to do, is it, my friends? We well know from our shared history, from our own lives, how difficult it can be. But still, we gather here in this beautiful, sacred, holy place this morning to know and claim anew our role in God's blessing the world through us. That's why we're here. Following Jesus by proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom come near, particularly in our acts of compassion and mercy, generosity to a hurting, lost, what often seems like shepherdless world. You and I are Jesus' agents bringing good news to the world. That is good news indeed for us and for all people. So now let me say a personal word after I've set the stage. Good morning, dear friends. Some old and most of you new. It is great to be here with you in Linville, this beautiful garden, incredible, an amazing place of God's creation, and may I add loving presence. And I hope that while we are all here, we will know God's kingdom has indeed come close, come near. For the kingdom is around us in creation, and the beauty of these majestic mountains, and then all the beautiful, lush greenery and flowers growing, and in each other and within ourselves, if we are paying attention. Let me say my wife, Tippy, and I are honored and we're just incredibly joyful to have received your invitation of kindness and of hospitality to be with you this week. It's a wonderful place, and we are just so happy to be here, and thank you for sharing your special place, God's love and creation with us. But I have to remind myself, coming up here, driving up through the mountains of Western North Carolina from my mountain in Suwanee, Tennessee, that in our busy, hectic, and divided world out there, it can be difficult to be agents of God's good news and to pay attention to where God is working in the world and in lives, to where God's kingdom is near. But surely, here, can't we pay attention? Let me share a story of how one person learned to know and share the good news of God's kingdom in another beautiful place of God's creation in my home state of Georgia. And although I'm a diehard Georgia Bulldog, I'm not talking about Athens. So let me set this stage. Driving south down Interstate 85, leaving the concrete and steel of the bustling, brazen city of Atlanta behind. Rolling hills and valleys of central west Georgia eventually make gestures toward an unexpected destination. Veering off I-85 toward Columbus, Georgia, you eventually come to the exit for Pine Mountain, a surprising location in central Georgia where no other mountains exist or rise for hundreds of miles. A bit different from this high mountainous place of God's created beauty and majesty. Yet, a mountain there. Things happen on mountains, don't they? Turning onto Highway 18 in that village of Pine Mountain, the road becomes a canopied, curving causeway into a verdant and pristine forest. So beautiful. Here the road ends, right at the entrance to a domain of natural and cultivated beauty. 2,500 acres of Callaway Gardens and its surrounding 12,000 acres woodland preserve. Anyone can rest in the shade of this expansive, peaceful place where stress and anxiety-ridden schedules melt away. The tranquility of one man's dream. Case in Callaway. The beauty of this special place has not always been so accessible. Less than 100 years ago, the only road that led there was a rut-filled, mud-encased logging road. But Case in Callaway and his wife, Virginia, discovered deep in the heart of this forest a place to bring their family on picnics. In a deep ravine, a bold spring of clear water boils out from under the rocks, flowing at a steady rate of 300 gallons a minute. Huge trees surround the stream that sawmillers never touched. And all around in the surrounding woods grow wildflowers, and a rare native rhododendron azalea that is found nowhere else on Earth except within a 100-mile radius of this blue spring. Virginia and Case and Callaway bought this property and several thousand surrounding acres and built a private retreat for their family. And the Callaways jealously guarded their blessings of this garden spot, allowing no one from the outside to rest in the shade of the thick branches near the cool waters of the Blue Spring. That is, until one day, Callaway looked out the window of his log cabin and saw, of all things, a family of strangers having a picnic beside his private lake. Going immediately out to send the trespassers, the intruders, away, Case and Callaway impertinently asked and addressed the man in the picnicking clan, "Sir, what can I do for you?" "Well," the man pleasantly replied, "you might give us some cookies for the baby." Completely undone by this man's gentle response and his baby's need, Callaway went meekly back inside, got crackers for the baby, and returned and kindly told his visitors, "We're all fortunate indeed. This beautiful place is only open to the public today. Imagine you've lucked upon us. So have a good time with your picnic. Tomorrow, tell your friends, we will be closed forever." This family thanked the Callaways for sharing this rare spot, joyfully left after having a wonderful afternoon. But that day, a vision of God's kingdom and their call to share it formed in the hearts of Virginia and Case and Callaway. The sight of a family of strangers enjoying this quiet and beautiful spot were the seeds of a dream for the Callaways. Less decade later, Payson Callaway, this driven and what some would call a hard and especially prudent businessman and financier, quit the business world. From then on, he devoted his life to cultivating the 2,500 acres of Callaway Gardens into a public place of beauty and recreation that anyone could visit. There's a good golf course there, too. Like the unexpected visitors to Abraham and Sarah that day by the oaks of Mamre in a garden, like the Callaway's unexpected visitors, you and I never know when God's kingdom's blessings may show up interrupting our lives. But Christ shows up, my friends. We can notice the divine presence of God's self-giving, serving love flowing freely and abundantly to us and through us like living streams of the Blue Spring waters. Back to Case and Callaway's story, I believe that many people met Christ face to face that miraculous day of intrusion at Callaway's garden retreat. That modest and humble family who was seized by the beauty and love God has poured into creation. Couldn't do anything but stop and notice it and enjoy it and each other right there. Payson Callaway met Christ and his visitors' gentle care for the child and their honest vulnerability of needs, his ability to meet those needs, and their joy being welcomed to that holy place. I know this personally, and it takes both, but some have said it takes great suffering or either great love to have your eyes open to the light of Christ shining into our world and lives. Probably know this yourselves. But for Callaway, that day it was love. Love as pure as Jesus's compassion and mercy for those hurting and alone and rejected in the world that he had mercy on, that he sent others out to have compassion and mercy upon. Love as we know it in the beauty and majesty of creation. Love as we know it in each other. Callaway became Christ when he responded to this family, the love that created the sun and the other stars. If we are paying attention, we will meet the Christ, not just out there, but let me say, within us and within others. And Christ becomes our true identity, destiny, the world. God's light of compassion and love shines forth from us and into the world. Earlier we heard in Matthew's Gospel in the Beatitudes, just a few chapters before today's lesson, Jesus tells us, you are the light of the world. And we just can't hide that light under a basket. Having seen how that light can shine into our lives, how can we keep it from shining forth from us? It's not easy, is it? And even with all our fear-based cracks and sins and foibles, Christ's light in us shines into the darkness of a hurting, sometimes shepherdless world. Yes, we, like Jesus, can join in that role of being shepherds. I hope and pray during our time at Linville, during your time, if it's just a weekend or 6 days like mine, or for the whole season, or maybe you're here year-round, I hope that you know God is surely giving you the kingdom as you recognize Christ in so many wondrous, beautiful, even simple ways here, away from the busyness and anxiety of the world. You see, we have our Callaway Gardens gift of God's creation and presence right here, away from those harsh distractions we often face. Can we pay attention here and now to the gift and love we are receiving? Here, may we claim our birthright as citizens of God's reign, self-giving love, and service in this world, as followers of Christ, as descendants of Abraham and Sarah, called by name, each of us, like Jesus called his disciples. Embraced by Christ's wide love and presence, friends know this mystery in every life here. In one another, the lives of your family and friends who are here and visit you, perhaps those family guests that might show up unexpectedly, and those who serve and make your stay here so wonderful at the UCO Lodge and the club and on the golf course and the tennis courts and everywhere around, and especially the magnificent beauty of creation here. Remember that God's blessings come crashing into our lives like the unexpected visitor. Like Abraham and Sarah, remember that and trust God's promises of life that will indeed spring forth. Possible with God. Turning from yourself, learn what it means to live like Christ in compassion, love, sharing God's blessings. And when you drive down from these high mountains and back into your life, build upon what you have known here, just as the Callaways built, open up the world to God's blessings for others. Let me say it will be different for each one of us. God calls each of us with our different gifts and callings, proclaimed by word and most importantly by the deeds and actions of our lives, to show that indeed God's kingdom is near. Poet Gerard Manley Hopkins wrote, "Christ plays in 10,000 places, lovely in limbs, lovely in eyes not his, to the Father, to the features of men's and women's." How will Christ play in your life? What good news will you share? How will God's kingdom be revealed by your life's deeds? Not a family of strangers, but God's family, our neighbors in this hurting world, await our response.